Hello and welcome to Scram Web and EVE Online Podcast. This is the first episode of this new venture where I'm going to try and do a podcast. Currently it's just me, Totara, who I'm going to be talking about various things written about my blog. Hope you all enjoyed. Well, let's get started. I'm going to talk about the blog post I just did earlier today. It's titled, Using Gate Aggression Mechanics to Split Apart the Enemy. Now, recently, I left to go about on a nice long roam. The plan was to go through Providence and swing around through a bunch of sovereignty space and eventually end up back in Syndicate, where my current core Baganian Leash is based. However, I seem to be sort of stuck in Providence. Every time I go, I seem to get in lots of good fights and start running out of ammo or fill up with too much cargo after looting everything and dumping it back in HiSec. I did lose one ship along the way, but this has been pretty good for me. I really should get back to Syndicate where Agony's based out of, but right now I'm really enjoying raping Providence for what it's worth. So let's get started. So earlier this morning, I had a great fight, and it was a good fight, and I think it was very representative of the kind of things people should be thinking of if they're doing solo PvP. What made it good was there were a bunch of tactics involved that allowed me in a small ship to take on a larger gang and come out not only surviving, but come out with a kill and prospering. So I was flying an Enyo. Now my Enyo is a mech warp drive fit Enyo with a small armor repairer. It does fairly good damage. It only has really one damage rig, but with four blasters, it does better damage than pretty much any other assault frigate that's not Galente. It's a nice ship. I just started flying it recently. The mech warp drive is an essential part of the fit. It allows me to survive in 0-0. I've got more power to get into fights with a mech warp drive than would with an afterburner. Of course, the problem with a mech warp drive is it means when you're in a fight, there's a bit of a disadvantage because you can be scrammed and lose a lot of the mobility. But the ability to get into a fight with a mech warp drive is much higher, so that's why it's fit with a mech warp drive. So, as I entered the system, 9UY4-8. Now, 9UY is one of the most storied systems in EVE Online. There's a station in it that was put up, I believe, by Shura Khan, a Mimitar Loyalist-type corp, role-playing-type corp. And later on, it was conquered by CVA, an Amarian corp. And later on, when CVA fell out of Providence about a year and a half ago, went back to Shura Khan, there was big, hey, we've got it again. They're all very excited. Then it fell and went to, I think it went through one or two other alliances before ending up with Kriba. He had it for a few months. There was a nice couple of big fights, apparently, when someone said, I'm going to take Kriba's station out. They put in reinforced, and all of EVE sort of rallied to support Kriba. After this happened the second time, no one rallied to support Kriba, and the system fell to CVA again, I believe. Currently, the system is controlled by CVA. Now, Providence is what's called a not red, don't shoot. In other words, people can fly around, and if they're not marked on the kill on sight list from CVA, most of the locals aren't allowed to engage them, or else they themselves end up on the kill on sight list. However, being a member of Agony Unleashed, we used to have space in Providence before CVA had it back. Kill on sight, we're marked red, and people will engage us. They may have to check a kill on sight list, but they're going to engage us pretty quick. So anyways, as I entered 9U, I think I entered from the 4B-NQN system, I saw a Jaguar in scan. Now, Jaguar, like an Enyo, is an assault frigate, and I love Jaguars. I fly them all the time. But I thought, my Enyo can take this Jaguar. So my plan was to get in a fight with this Jaguar. 9UI is a gateway system. It has five gates leading out of it, and it's quite large, so you can't scan any gate from any of the other gates. But after about a minute or so, I managed to find the Jaguar on the H6 gate. So I warped to the gate. He was at attack, but he warped down, and we started engaging. The fight went pretty well. I ripped through his shields. After a while, I was digging into his armor when a Saber appeared. And the Saber was, I noticed, the same corp as the Jaguar. This suddenly meant, instead of having an easy win on my hands, I was looking at, with the Sabers, I had a DPS, plus he probably was going to throw in a scram and a web, plus a bubble, I was going to lose my ship. and probably my pod as well. Not a good situation. So I hit the microwarp drive and motored on out of there. Got out there in a hurry. Bye-bye. I still wanted to fight these guys, though. I did pretty well against that Jaguar, and I was really sore that I had to bail on the fight. I probably, if I just stayed 10 more seconds, I could have taken down that Jaguar, but I think it would have cost me, if that would be assuming that the Saber didn't mess me up too much. And if the Saber had webbed me, scrammed me, I'd be in big trouble. So, I was a bit cowardly running away, but I ran away and was determined to fight. So, after bopping around for a bit, I reloaded up my cat boosters and stuff and took another look, and they were both sitting on the H6 gate at 9 UI. So I warped out of the gate and jumped on through, hoping that they would, split up. And sure enough, one of them, I believe the Saber, went into H6 and the Jaguar stayed in 9 UI. And they kind of bopped back and forth in the gate a couple times, but I couldn't get either of them to engage me. What I wanted was to split them up. I could not take, I'm in one assault frigate, I can't take an assault frigate, and very good, the Saber is the best interdictor out there for combat, a combat interdictor, I can't take it on with one assault frigate, I'll lose. But if I could split them up, I had a pretty good chance. I figured I could take out either one of them alone, but together there was no match. So I was going to use the gate in order to separate the two. What this means is if I could get one of them aggressed on one side and the other aggressed on the other side, they couldn't help each other. It would become this brick wall for 60 seconds. They de-aggress. So my hope was that either the Jaguar or the Saber would aggress. I'd jump through, engage the other guy who would start fighting. So now they'd both be aggressed, one on one side of the gate, one on the other side of the gate. And, the guy was fighting. He couldn't jump, just escape through the gate because he was just aggressed with me. But the guy was... who ingressed on the other side of the gate was stuck there. He had to wait, would have to wait for his aggression timer to run out. Unfortunately, they were onto me. They knew this was what I was trying to do, and they were reluctant to aggress me. So I had to make it a little bit more tasty on their side. So I kind of started inching further and further away from the gate. This is a 9 UI with the Jaguar around me. Until I got about 4,000 meters from the gate, outside of jump range, the Jaguar realized this was looking pretty good, and he engaged me. Scrammed me. He started shooting at me. I'm not sure if he scrammed or disrupted. But anyways, he engaged me, he pointed me, started shooting at me. I quickly turned around, head back for the gate, and jumped on through, leaving the Jaguar behind, who was now unable to use the gate for 60 seconds because he had just committed a hostile act. So here I'm on the other side of the gate, and there's the Saber sitting there about 15 kilometers away. I have a very small window here, 60 seconds. 60 seconds is going to be back on the 2-on-1. So no use wasting any time. I immediately, full power, turn the microwarp drive, burn straight at the Jaguar, start shooting at it. A bubble pops up. I'm not sure if he'd already popped the bubble or he popped it up at that point. Now, perfect. The Jaguar's aggressed on this side, and the Saber and the Jaguar's aggressed on the other side, and the Saber's aggressed on this side. They were split up. It's a one-on-one situation right now, and there's nothing they can do about it for 60 seconds. I start shooting at the Saber. He obviously starts returning fire, starts pointing me, webs me. He doesn't have the wherewithal. Now, he should be able to kill me. A battle-fit Saber should have enough of a tank that if he webbed me, scrammed me, shut off my warp drive, he should be able to hold me at 5 or 6 kilometers, which would significantly reduce the amount of damage I could do to him, while his autocannons would be just wailing into me with their massive fall-off. He did not have the wherewithal to do that, and I didn't think he would because it was happening so quickly, and in literally only a few seconds, maybe 30 seconds, he was down. Thanks to his bubble, I was able to then pop his pod, which is worth way more than the Saber. It was a 90 million disc pod. He had quite a few, mediocre implants in there, which was kind of a nice bonus. And I looted the Saber. The Jaguar came through. I had an option. I could have at this point engaged the Jaguar. I was reluctant to because having taken a bunch of damage, I had some overheat damage. I had, was going to have to reload my ammo. I was just being a little cowardly, and the Jaguar having been damaged by me earlier, he wasn't keen on a one-on-one with me either, and we both sort of went our separate ways. So, it was a great fight, and the main thrust of it is using gate mechanics and aggression mechanics to split up an enemy fleet. There was a gang of two. I was one. But rather than a two-on-one, I turned it into a one-on-one situation and destroyed a ship worth more than my own ship. Got a bunch of loot. It was good. Can't do better than that. So, that would be the my most recent blog, using great aggression mechanics to split apart the enemy. Now let's talk about an earlier event. Last week I was at FanFest 2012. This was my first time at FanFest. In fact, my first time in Iceland. I can't imagine very many people going to Iceland for any reason but FanFest. Anyways, I had a great time. I thought Iceland was quite beautiful. It is a I spent the first day before the FanFest. I could have done the Golden Circle tour, but instead I decided to just wander around, look at the architecture, look at the city and stuff like that, and had a great time. It was pretty. There was sun. The weather was cold, but it wasn't freezing or anything. I am Canadian, so you know, a little bit of snow doesn't frighten me. And it was great. The venue was at what's called the Harpa Convention Center. It was a fantastic facility. I think it's one a really an architectural gem. It looks like crystal with these hexagonal panels. Fantastic facility, apparently much better than the facility in the previous year. Fantastic. So what happened at FanFest? Well, FanFest, they talked a lot about Dust 514, their new expansion sort of type thing onto the PlayStation. It's going to be PlayStation exclusive. You can't play it on the Xbox or the PC. But it's going to be basically a bunch of first-person shooter players on consoles interacting loosely with the EVE universe. Kind of cool. They had a nice demo showing the interaction, the way the interaction would work. Basically, people down on the planet could apparently shoot upwards, and people up in space had the ability to people on the planet could call in airstrikes, and the ships up in space could shoot downwards, causing untold mayhem. Kind of cool that there'd be this interaction. We'll see how it works. It sounds like they are kind of making it faction warfare to begin with, and then we slowly expanding it into 00 as time goes on. I think it's pretty cool. What other things came out of FanFest? Well, they announced the CSM. Well, the CSM kind of dominated FanFest, especially the FanFest coverage. They, during the CSM panel discussion, though, I thought was something quite interesting. When they compared the number of votes and the turnout, I noticed that there was a slight drop in overall subscribers between the CSM 6 voting period and the CSM voting period. I don't think CSEP has really admitted to the state of EVE subscribers until they basically came out with this panel, and if you do the math, you can see that the numbers are down about 6,500 people, or 2% less subscribers now than there was a year ago. That, I think, we can attribute largely to the Encarta riots and the chaos they had there. It also explains why they're a bit more, why they've now, finally listened to the users, because, hey, the users stopped paying their subscriptions. This means they have to have layoffs, and Helmer can't afford a private jet, etc., etc. So, good news is that the players really, really rattled CCP's cage, and I think CCP is responding. I can't tell you how many times it seemed every time a developer got up, it was like, oh yes, and we're never, ever going to do pay-to-win. Pay-to-win does not exist in the spaceship game. And they repeated it so many times, I think they got the message. Pay-to-win does not work for spaceships. The Counselor Stellar Management panel was, kind of boring. Other than that, there was a few chit-chat here and there. Now, what was more interesting was the Alliance panel. Alliance panel is a thing that happens every year at FanFest, and they sometimes manage to accidentally lose the tapes for it, but it's always a good laugh. Here we have a bunch of intoxicated Alliance leaders who go and talk about their alliances, usually a few serious alliances. EVE University often is represented and gives a nice PowerPoint presentation that is suitable for a business meeting, all the way over to the Goon Swarm, who usually have a laughing, drunken frolic. This year's was no different. It started off with EV University. Then there was a couple other alliances, some excellent presentations from our Wormhole Alliance. Gentlemen's Club had a presentation, who I hadn't heard of before, but they seemed to really talk about the evolution of alliances and was good information. Then they hit Test and Dirtnap Squad and the Goons. Oh, first there was an alliance that their presentation consisted of a bunch of people singing their national anthem as ransoms. That was kind of funny. So it was a big drunken fiasco. They were obviously playing a drinking game, and they all got completely smashed. And the Mitanni said some things which he later regretted. Kind of the low point of the entire FanFest, I think, was the last 5 minutes of the Alliance panel, and by far the most talked about thing, which is quite shocking. One thing I thought was pretty cool was John Lander, CCP Unifex, is the new head producer of EVE as of, I think, December. And it was nice to see that he's former Agony, apparently. Or at least he gave a shout-out to Agony. He had been in EVE University and then in Agony. So Agony, one of our mottos is stop sucking. So I think that Agony has taught CCP to stop sucking. Ha ha ha. Okay, it's an in-joke. So I think he's a pretty cool guy. He's definitely talked a lot about the game, has a lot of great ideas. They showed a demo of some new graphics they're thinking about introducing, which Texhalation, I think it's called. And he's looking for some feedback, whether it's a good idea. Of course, everyone thinks it's a good idea. Whether it is or not, there's a few more considerations. For one thing, it's a DirectX 11 thing, which means you'll have to have Windows 7. It will not work on XP or Windows Vista. So there's a few downsides that weren't mentioned to the graphics engine changes they were talking about. But on the whole, I think it's pretty cool. He talked about various changes of the game. You know, they're talking about bringing in mining, obviously the dust interface, future expansions, lots and lots of cool ideas. There's some ring mining, which apparently will be interesting. Some ship balance changes. Oh, ship balancing. Definitely have to talk about ship balancing. As was hinted at a few months ago, CCP is starting to look at ships and rebalancing. Some call it tiericide, sometimes it's called ship balancing. Basically, they are looking at every ship in the game and looking at changing them all. It's going to be quite the chaos. I went to the game developer panel, and then I went to the roundtable. They had these roundtable subs so you could have a more personal chat with developers for the actual ship balancing roundtable. Basically, the idea is they visualized. Now, these people play EVE a little bit. I mean, I play EVE 2 hours a night. These people may play EVE, well, PvE activities a couple hours a week, tops, and very little PvP. Ergo, why I'm so excited that former Agony is now the head developer for or the head producer for EVE Online. But most of these people aren't PvPers. They don't really have a good grasp of what ships are used for. But they've got some theories, and they're interesting. He considers there's battleships, you know, ships that are frontline the battle. There's ships that are sort of strike ships that will come zooming along, have speed, and hit, you know, strike and then get out. Then there's bombardment ships, ships from, you know, the back lines that can shoot long distances and deliver their ordnance up close. Then there's various support ships and industrial ships. And they got this idea set up, and they've started charting it out. And the idea is to get rid of all these different tiers. So, for example, in the Minmatar lineup, there's a bunch of ships that are totally useless. I mean, you think of the Rifter as a good ship. It can sit in the front of a battle. If you're talking about Tier 1 frigates, it can sit there at the front. It can do a bunch of stuff. And it's a Tier 3 frigate. Well, the Tier 2 frigates, let's say the Slasher, I'm not sure if it's a Tier 2 or Tier 1 frigate, it's got much less tank, it's got much less damage, it's got less slots, it's pretty much useless. There's no possible reason to fly it. The only reason it really exists in the game is to be used for invention or to build interceptors, and that's what the model is used for. Why they have these ships, no one knows. Even ships like the Breacher, another example, because it's got less tank, it's slower, it's inferior in every way to the Rifter. There's no possible reason why anyone would want to fly a Breacher, except literally for the lulz. Now, I've tried to fly a Breacher in PvP, and it doesn't work out very well because it just doesn't match the, you know, the Tier 3 frigates. So the idea is to get rid of these tiers and now just give them roles. So all the ships within will be more or less the same tier. Now, it doesn't mean they all have the same slots. I talked to the designer about this at the roundtable. They will have different number of slots, and they'll be slightly different, and some will be better, and some will be worse. But in general, the massive gap between the lower-tier frigates and the higher-tier frigates, the lower-tier cruisers and the higher-tier cruisers, the lower-tier battleships, well, battleships are a bit different, the lower-tier battle cruiser and the higher-tier battle cruiser, that will be remedied. Things will have a role and be specialized for that role, but they won't be inferior from the sense of, you know, just for the sake of having a weaker ship. On the whole, I think this is good. They are going to need a lot of feedback on this. They're going to need a lot of encouragement and advice. I hope that Sissy is, these changes are brought to Sissy, and there's a lot of feedback on them before they go live. But it's an exciting time. 6 months from now, the entire landscape of Tier 1, of T1 frigates and T1 cruisers might be completely different. You know, people will bring a Scythe to battle. People will bring a Bellicose to battle. People will bring Vexers and Thoraxes and Caracals and Moas and Maulers and all these ships that no one ever sees anymore. They'll have actual purposes and they'll be buffed up a bit so that they're all equivalent, which will be great. And tier one battle cruisers will now, again, they'll be flatlined, so Cyclones and Hurricanes and Brutixes and Prophecies. So Cyclones, Brutix, Prophecy, and Cyclones. Ferox. Ferox is the Caldari one. Yeah, Cyclone, Ferox, Brutix, Prophecy will be equivalent to their higher tier, to the second tier Drake, Hurricane stuff. There won't be this huge discrepancy. Now, in addition to that, they're also playing a completely revamping the skill trees for them, and that's controversial, but I don't really care. People are whining, complaining they might lose some skills. I think that's kind of silly. We'll see what happens there. It sounds like CCP is going to do the worst thing which they could do, in my opinion, which is to give everyone who's got level 5 bow cruisers, give them level 5 skills in all 4 races. I think that's a bit counterproductive, but they're going to do what they're going to do. So, anyways, I thought I'd end it here. I hope someone has enjoyed listening to this podcast. I'm going to try and do about one a week. That's quite ambitious. Maybe one a month. And hopefully people enjoy it. Maybe we'll have a second episode. Let's hope. All right. Cheers. Bye.